Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good night, Lord. I know you're going to be here, Lord. We're looking for healings tonight. We're looking for deliverances. And I heard somebody. Anyway, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to be leading the crew here, dear Lord. You're the one that's going to be doing everything, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to partake of the communion. And, Lord, we thank you that David has the opportunity to do that and to teach a little bit on it and show us what it's all about. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that everybody's ready. And tonight we're going to see miracles. I just believe it, Lord. I am in great anticipation, excited anticipation of what's going to happen tonight in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're preparing my wife to get healed. I know it, and I feel it, and I'm excited about it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for everybody else that's going to get healed in the next little bit, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the things that are coming, the revival that's coming. But, Lord, prepare us for this pestilence that's on its way, that's already started in some areas of the world. And, Lord, we thank you for keeping us in that realm of faith to where we understand that you're the one in charge, not any kind of pestilence or anything like that, Lord, that we can walk safely through areas where dead people are everywhere and not have to worry about it. Just like John G. Lake, when they put that bubonic plague in his hand and they watched the germs die, they said, "What is that?" He said, "That is the spirit of the life of Christ inside of me working against the germs." And Father, that's the way we want it. That's the way our faith is going to be. That's the way our faith is, Lord. We just believe, Lord, that you're going to take care of us. We have the Psalms 91 that we're walking in, Father. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished tonight, too. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see some mighty wondrous miracles here in the next little bit. Father, lead us tonight. Guide us tonight. And Lord, we just thank you that our praises go straight up to you and they are answered in the name of Jesus. I thank you for all the good testimonies that are going to happen tonight and all the prayers that are answered tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for leading our way in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? We're going to go ahead and take care of prayer requests and testimonies and praise report before we start. We'll do all that, at least like we did the last time. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Leon.
Hey, I want to pray for you and your wife. I'm not a guy that has a lot of deep meaning or anything, but I just say short prayers and straight to the thing. But anyway. Well, if you don't mind, I'll pray for you.
Go ahead.
Lord God, I pray that you would be with Michael tomorrow as he goes to Arkansas, and that you would protect him, that you would put an angel with him in the cab and put angels all around his vehicle and just protect him, Lord God, and give him a good, safe trip and just make it fast, or seem like it's fast anyway, or just translate him. That would be even better, Lord God. And then I pray for Jeanette, Lord God, that you would open her heart and open her mind, Lord God, to receive the healing I know she's going to get, Lord God, when Michael shows up, Lord God. Help her to cast off the demons. Help her to cast off the doctors. And help her to cast off any negativity, Lord, and by faith just accept what's going to happen and praise God for it, Lord God. And, Lord, you just make this a super trip and one that accomplishes exactly what Michael set out to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If anybody else?
I'll just add
for Michael. Well, let anybody else wants to pray for you before you pray for yourself.
Okay.
Does anybody else want to pray for Michael?
I'd like to pray.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Angelica.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I praise you and I thank you for this night, Lord God, and I thank you for the work that you're doing in all of our hearts, Lord. And I just bless Michael and I bless his wife, Lord God, and I lift them up to your mighty throne. And I ask that you pour out your grace and mercy upon them both, Lord God. You're a God of restoration, of peace, of love, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for putting your hand, Lord God, on both of them, Lord God, to bring restoration, Lord God, and a renewing of Christ in both of them, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. And I just speak death to the plans of the enemy, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord God, that you open up their hearts and their ears, Lord God, and their spirits, Lord God, to receive what you're wanting to do for both of their lives, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I release mighty warring angels to cover him and his vehicle and the road to where he's going. And I just bless them mightily, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful healing, Lord God, that's going to go forward for both of them. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, I received that. Lord, I'd just like to add to it a little bit. Lord, I thank you that right now she's already been telling everybody in there she's healed. Tiffany went up there, my granddaughter went up there, and she called me. She said, yeah, she's been telling them she's healed. And of course, when Tiffany told her I was coming home, she knows she's going to get healed when we get there, because we know, don't we? We know that faith brings about healing. And I told her, I said, well, you get excited because you're fixing to come up out of that bed of affliction, girl. She said, I know it. I know it. So, praise God. I know what's going to happen. We know. Y'all just be praying for her. She's in the hospital right now. She had to take her to the ER. She has trouble breathing. She has trouble keeping anything down. But she knows she's coming out of it. The doctors they always give the bad report. But God always gives a good report, doesn't he? And all we have to do is believe the good report over and above the bad report. And that's what we do. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that tomorrow is going to be an exciting time. It's going to be a time of Jeanette's reflection upon the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Anybody else want to pray for Michael before he goes? Okay.
All right, anybody need a prayer for anything or would like to pray about something else? Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
I don't know if you saw it, but Pearl posted in the chat about something she needed prayer about.
No, I didn't. Okay, all right. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that oppressive spirit that's giving her pressure in her head to leave right now in Jesus' name. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that you go right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that Pearl doesn't have to worry about that anymore. All she has to do is rebuke it when she feels it coming on. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that she is healed by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. That's where that headache and that oppressive feeling goes, is right there on that cross. And Father, we thank you that Pearl is healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that oppressive spirit is gone away from her. No more pressure right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that she has received and now she is free from that oppressive spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Do you believe that, Pearl?
Yes.
Amen. All right, sister, you're healed in Jesus' name. I believe it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I hope everybody's ready for the communion tonight. All right, anybody else need prayer or would like to pray about something? Or yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Okay, yeah, I've got a praise report and then a couple of quick prayer requests. Praise report is that Lady Marjorie that we prayed for a few weeks ago. The other day I was going to work and her friend came running across the parking lot to me and says, oh, Marjorie's doing so good. Her She's completely out of pain now, and her tumors are shrinking, and she just wanted us, me, to thank you and everybody that was praying for her. That,
Amen.
She's being healed, and she's standing in faith for a complete healing. So she's doing wonderfully, a lot better than when we first heard about her. So,
praise Amen. God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that she is healed. All right.
Next thing, I got a phone call today from a buddy of mine. He drives for us at work, and they changed companies, and he had broke his back years ago, like 38 years ago. And he gets around okay with a cane, but he's been taking a company rig home because he can't get in his truck at the changed rig because of his back. And I was going to pray that the new company, the management, would soften up their heart, but I thought, you know, we've been having some really good results here. Let's pray for his back and get it healed and get him so he don't need their stupid company rig and he can go about
it. Amen. Amen. Go for it, brother. We'll believe with you.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to call him, so we're praying for him without him knowing about it, but you know, he's a man of faith, and he's a believer, and so we're going to pray for Denny, Lord, and pray that you would restore his back, heal him. He's lived with it long enough. He needs that back healed so he can go back to being a productive member of society and not be sitting because he hates that. He's got the faith. He just needs the action. Just we pray and believe that you will heal his back and he can throw away his cane and get about his life. And we thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What's his name?
Denny.
Denny?
Yeah.
Okay. Denny, right now, in the name of Jesus, from the top of your neck to the bottom of your feet, be healed. Every disc in his back, be healed. Every ligament in his back, be healed. Be aligned with the Word of God right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that your healing touch is going upon him right now, even as we speak, that the next time he talks to Tim, he's going to say, y'all must have been praying for me because I got healed the other night. And I thank you, Father, that he's going to give you the praise and the glory for his healing in Jesus' name, and tell everybody around him that he's been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you, Father, that he is healed. In Jesus' name. Everybody knows he's healed, don't he? I'm just imagining in my mind that Denny is going back to work and he don't have to worry about nothing because God is with him. Thank you, Lord. I feel that, boy. I just feel that boy's going to get healed. He's already healed. Jesus' name. All right, anybody else?
Yeah. Hi, Tim. This is Denny. Different Denny.
Yeah, Denny.
I got healed the other night in my back at the Monday meeting. And,
Amen.
It's just, pain was from the left side all the way toward the middle. And it just kind of, I could feel it just moving out like it was going out, like it just went out of my waist, like, and it was gone. And,
Amen.
So I was just saying, God's healing. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, that was awesome. Thank you, Father. Well, you're not the only one that got healed either. Go ahead, Leon.
I got healed yesterday, too.
Amen.
I haven't even thought about my back all day long.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So, praise God. Oh, he also healed my hearing. I had a noise in my head like, a flock of birds or something like that. And it was always there. It's been there for years. I think it's I had some surgery on my brain the other day. Or a couple of years ago. And I think it's from that. But anyway, I had that noise in there, and I heard a sound today like an oscilloscope. I don't know if everybody knows what an oscilloscope is, but it measures sound waves, and it went way high and did a noise, and then my hearing got better. So I said, I heard that, Lord. I'm claiming that the thing that's going to change, and it did. So praise God. He's a good God.
Amen.
Who is God that? Be magnified.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, we had it. Who is that scruffy looking guy with you, Jackie? Hey, Rob. How's it going, brother?
All right. Just coming over here to make sure you guys are behaving.
Hey, we are. We are. Man, you ought to stay around. David will be on here shortly.
Looking forward with a little communion here with you, brother.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have it here shortly.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Well, yeah, we had a few healings last night. That was good. It's a good night. You go ahead, Judy. Where'd she go? Well, where'd you go?
I don't know. Where did I go?
I don't know. You turned your camera off.
How do I turn my camera back on?
Hit the on switch.
On switch? There. Okay.
There you go.
You probably can't hear me.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm healed.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right.
Jesus, that you can hear me.
Oh, yeah. We can hear you. Thank you, Father. Who is that back there coaching you? Is that Sue? All right. Thank you, Jesus.
That's
all right.
Sue.
Yeah. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
All right. Anybody else? Hi, Nora. Hey, Joe. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or would like to pray about something? Yeah, we had an awesome time last night in fellowship. Good praise and worship. Oh, my goodness. It was so awesome. And I'm trying to figure out what Judy's doing. That's hard to do. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I tell you what, I'll take some prayer for my hands.
Okay.
Because I, a few years back, about, I don't know, it's been a while, exposed to a lot of chemicals and it took all the skin off my hands. And it's been slowly coming back, but they still are sensitive and they peel and they break open this time of year quite a bit. So I'll just take some prayer for that so that they can go completely healed.
Amen. Put them up there to the screen because God's fixing to heal you. In the name of Jesus right now, we command those hands to be healed. In the name of Jesus, we command them to have natural oil going to them so they don't peel. We thank you, Father, that there is no dryness in those hands anymore. They're completely healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that they're not sensitive anymore. They're hardened, calloused, and ready to go to work in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that he's got complete skin and whatever else needs on there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that Dave's hands are healed. You believe that, David?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking for the good report. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody here believes it, too. Thank you, Lord. Go, Judy. Or are you just dancing? Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Missy. Who? Is that you, Barbara? Yeah, go ahead.
Can I get some prayer?
Sure.
I have a real bad headache, and I'd like to have prayer for that, please.
Okay, now, when we pray, are you going to believe that you're healed?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now. We command the headache and the pain to go in Jesus' name. We command anxiety to go in the name of Jesus. We command nervousness to go in the name of Jesus. Fear, go right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you put the joy of the Lord in our heart. We thank you, Father, that you put freedom from any anxiety, any kind of stress, in the name of Jesus, on Barbara, that it's got to go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for putting the joy of the Lord in her heart and rest in her heart, Lord, that she, all she has to to worry about is where she is with you. And that's the fear of the Lord. And Father, we know that you're taking care of her and her family in Jesus' name. Right, Barbara?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Can you pray for Bruce, too? He's been suffering a migraine for the past couple days as well.
Is he right there?
No, he's not. He's not here right now.
Okay, yeah, we'll pray for him. In the name of Jesus right now, we command Bruce's headache to go in Jesus' name. We command the stress and the anxiety in him to leave in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray that you place it in his heart a hunger for the Word of God like he's never experienced before. Father, we thank you for that you're going to do that. We're in a perilous time now, Lord, and we know that he needs to get draw close to you, Father. And we thank you that you're placing it in his heart. Lord, you can turn a switch on him in just a heartbeat and put him back into that Word full time. And he's going to be a blessing to everybody around him in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that he is healed of that headache. Lord, we ask also that you put the joy of the Lord in his heart as well. In Jesus' name. You believe that, Barbara?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Sister, look for it because it's happening.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. I don't know if you've looked at the chat, but Angelica wanted prayer for her physical and spiritual healing, hearing for her ears.
Okay. All right.
Maybe, have Angelica, can she come on and talk a little more about it?
Sure. I'm sorry. I just it's been going on for a while, and I've been in a lot of battles, a lot of trials this year, and I think the last couple of months my ears have had some tingling, and there's been some pain and some pressure in my head, and I've been standing on my prayer, and the pressure from my head left, praise God, but my ears still need some healing, and I'm still, the Lord's gracing me to give me faith and grace to continue and to press on, and so I still need that healing for my ears, and I just am waiting for that manifestation.
Okay, don't wait any longer because you're fixing to get it, okay? In the name of Jesus right now, we command that hearing problem to go from her right now in Jesus' name. We command those ears to open up. We command the noise to stop right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that Angelica is healed in her ears. We command all the anxiety to go from her, any kind of stress, any kind of depression, oppression, to go from her right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, she's healed. She is a light to everybody around her, Father, and we thank you that she can hear everything that anybody says at the smallest whisper in Jesus' name. We declare it, decree it by the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that, Angelica?
Yes, sir. I know it's spiritual because I actually went to get some medicine, and that didn't do anything, so praise the Lord, I believe.
Amen. All right, it's healed. Yeah, Willie, go ahead, brother.
I wasn't raising my hand, but I might as well tell you something wonderful, you know, the Lord showed to me. You know, it put me in tears, man. Really put me in tears. And it's not, you know, just something about Moses, and it blew my mind, you know. You know when Moses smote the rock twice, and he was like, drink, you rebels. And, you know, Lord, you know, talked to him when they got to the promised land. And, you know, the Lord was like, you know, you can look upon the land, but you're not going to go in there. And, you know, Moses had a great desire to go into the promised land. You know, but God let him know, you're not going into the promised land. And, you know, I could imagine how Moses felt. Oh, God, that must have broken. You know, that must have broke his heart. You know, but the scripture says, all those whom the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens and scourges every child that is brought unto him. You know, and the Lord showed me something. And it was just as beautiful, you know, Moses was rebuked and chased. But then you're like, you know, after the Lord rebuked and chastened him, you know, where was the love? And you're like, okay, because he died. He died. And then the Lord showed me. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up into the mount and was transfigured. And his clothes became as white, you know, brighter than any fuller's soap can brighten, you know, as the scriptures tell us. And it said there appeared to him on the mount, you know, whose feet also touched the mount, Moses and Elijah. Moses entered the promised land. His feet, where he was told his he could not enter, through Christ, he entered and put his feet upon that land. I thought, man.
Amen.
Oh. Yeah, he touched it before he was brought up from Sheol, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I was like, wow. Wow. He entered into the promised land. And Christ made the way for him. And oh, man, it blows my mind. Oh, that's so beautiful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your revelation, yes. Lord. They're awesome.
And I just hope that's an encouragement for anyone who's believing on what they need. You know.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, every time I think about it, it makes me just tear up terribly.
Yeah.
Terribly. It's so beautiful, man.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
They snuck him in anyways, didn't he?
You know,
Jesus.
And it was just a beautiful thing, because the forgiveness, you know, that God gave to Moses, when he entered into the land, it was no longer, you know, the glory that he had upon his face when he came down from the mount. You know, it was the glory that he had from the Father. You know, there was no glory of the law upon his face.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
You know, he stood there with the same glory, you know, that Christ was in.
Amen.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go on too long. That was just amazing to me.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for moving on Willie. He's such a blessing. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
But okay. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Leo asked us to pray for Josiah. He's having a little bit of problem right now. In the name of Jesus, right now, peace be still, Josiah. We command those tormenting spirits off of him right now in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name, you go. By the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you to go. Peace into Josiah by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for healing Josiah. Thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in him. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for the work you're doing in Josiah. We thank you, Father, for placing joy in his heart, peace in his heart. We thank you, Father. All the pain is gone in Jesus' name. We declare and decree that he's going to have good sleep tonight. And mom and daddy's going to have good sleep as well. We thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that your angels are already ministering to Josiah right now, stroking him and quieting him down, even as we speak. And we thank you, Father, that he is quieting down and he's still. And the tormenting spirits have gone. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, that Josiah is healed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Ooh, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You're welcome. Thank Jesus. He's the one that's there right now. He's ministering to your son. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Got a praise report, a prayer request, or testimony? You know, I told the prayer group this morning one thing about John G. Lake and his ministry when he was in Spokane, ever how you pronounce it. Matt will let me know. But what he would do when he started that healing ministry, a healing technician ministry, he would disciple people and teach them how to heal through Christ. And what he would do after he'd give them some instruction, he would send them to somebody in need's house and say, he'd tell them, he said, you stay there until you get them healed. And they'd liable to stay there for a couple of hours and come back and they'd be healed. They'd liable to stay there all day. And then they'd liable to stay there for a week. They might even stay 3 weeks, but they'd get them healed. And that's why he had so much success. And I was telling them this morning what they would do would be going in there and they'd teach faith to the people that needed it. And not only teach faith, they'd pray in the Spirit, you know. If they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, they'd baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Whatever needed to be done, they would minister to them. They would minister to them until their faith level came up to receive God's healing. And that's what we ought to be doing. If we in the days ahead, we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be teaching people, discipling people about healing. And we're going to have to tell them, you know, the things of the Word. Get in the Word. That's the best way to get healed is get in the Word. You can get healed just by reading the Word of God. Praise God. But anyway, I thought I'd bring that up. It's something that you don't quit. You keep believing God for it. And the only way to keep believing God for it is to stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Keep reading those healing scriptures. Keep reading them, you know. Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Praise God, I'm healed. You know, praise God. And that's kind of what I wanted to say. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to add to that? Let me see who that is. Well, I don't know who that is. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to comment on before I holler at David? Okay. I'm going to go holler at him. All right, he'll be on here directly. Who is
Holler
that?
Kevin, too.
Well, when I hollered at David, Kevin heard me too. I told him when I hollered at David, there he is.
We all heard that.
Where's your camera at? David, take... Oh, there he is. I thought you might have still had the tape on there. Can you hear me, David? I can't hear you. That's because you're muted. Let me unmute you. I got you. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear
yes,
you.
Yes, I can.
All right, you got the floor, brother. Yeah.
Already?
Already, yeah. We done been praying. We done seen miracles, people coming to life. I'm telling you, just all kinds of good things.
Oh, praise the Lord. We like that.
Amen.
Well, okay. Let's talk a little bit about the Lord's Supper. I think I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 5. As you know, the Passover foreshadows our Lord's Supper. In both of them, the lamb is eaten, right? There are some people who shouldn't partake of the Lord's Supper. It's kind of dangerous, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And it's true, just a little bit of leaven causes the lump, which is the local body, to be leavened. So the Lord doesn't want that. There's great advantages for the local body to be unleavened, right? It says, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company with fornicators, not at all meaning with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous and extortioners, or with the idolaters, for them must you needs go out of the world. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. It's talking about, of course, eating the Lord's Supper here, eating the Passover. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. Now it says pretty much the same thing in other lists in the Bible. And this is not a complete list, but anybody that's in outward immorality, outward rebellion, shouldn't partake of the Lord's Supper. And matter of fact, they shouldn't be in the body unless they're there to repent. Another list, for instance, is in chapter 6. In verse 9 and 10, it says, or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, notice it says they won't inherit the kingdom of God, which means they don't have the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, of course, is where God rules, and we pray that he rules in every part of us. Another list is in Revelation chapter 22. Some of them overlap somewhat. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have a right to come to the tree of life. Well, that's the only right we have, to be a part of an unleavened body and to be a part of the kingdom of God, is to wash our robes. And may enter in by the gate into the city. Without are the dogs, and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. A few extras added in there. So we can see that these are leaven. He says, put away the wicked from among yourselves. And we're forbidden, of course, in chapter 11 for these to partake of the body and blood of Christ in an unworthy manner, because that's what they would be doing. It's a profession that is not a fact. And, you know, we're supposed, these are not just parables and they're not just ceremonies. This is an act of faith, which should be fulfilled in the local body. Let me read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 through maybe 17. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? A communion means having in common. And we are having in common as we partake of the common body and blood of Christ. And we have in communion with him as we're having communion with one another. If we're leavened, we're not having communion. Something is breaking this communion, right? And so God usually does something about that. I'll talk to you about that in a minute, but let me read on. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ, having in common the blood of Christ? You know, let me say something about the blood. The Bible says in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so we're partaking of the life of Christ, the life of his flesh in the blood. And the word life there is also the word for soul. We're partaking of the soul of Christ through the blood. And we do it, you know, in communion by faith, you know, because faith is the thing that really counts here. It's not the ceremony, it's the faith that does the work. And so we're partaking of the blood of Christ together, a communion of the blood of Christ. We're partaking of his soul. We're partaking of his mind, will, and emotions. We inherited a soul through Adam, through the first Adam. And, of course, it was sin. You know, the blood. The sin is passed on in the blood to every generation. And so we inherited a certain nature, character, authority, and a certain mind, will, and emotions from our parents. And, of course, many things that we've done between here and there contribute to that, to leavening our soul. And so what we're doing when we do the Lord's Supper is we're making a commitment to partake of only the body and blood of Christ. And it's hard to do that when people that you think are in communion with you are hiding sin. Or they're in outward immorality that you know about, in which we can see that that's not legal. I mean, I just read to you what it says here. It's not my opinion, you know. Reading on, it says, the bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? Seeing that we who are many are one bread, so we're that loaf, we're that bread that can be leavened by someone hiding in our midst doing this sin. Of course, we're not guilty if they're hiding, but God can reveal this. And if they are revealed, and we don't do something about it, like we saw in 1 Corinthians 5, then we are guilty, right? Seeing that we who are many are one bread, one body, we all partake of one bread. Of course, that is the body of Christ. Bread represents the word of God, represents the body of Christ. He was the Word made flesh. And, of course, the blood is the life of the body or the life of the flesh. And so, you know, it's not just the Word. Some people know the Word. They can even quote it to you. Well, I should say no. But they understand, they have a good memory of the Word, and they can quote it to you, but they just don't know what it means, right? And, you know, partaking of the body and blood of Christ is partaking of not only the Word, but the very nature of the Word. The Word, of course, is Christ, but the very nature, the soul of the Word. So this can be interrupted by somebody who is invaded our territory. Some people believe that the church is the place to clean people up, and of course it is, but not people in willful disobedience. They'll bring a curse on you. One thing, you'll have a weakened body because of this. The Lord has shown us through this faction thing that your body will be weakened, the power will be weakened. You're a leavened lump when they're in your body. And the Lord, you know, the great thing about the Lord is he has used faction, for instance, to deliver us from people who hide sins and or even are revealed to some people that they're in sin. And this thing not only reveals, but it takes them out, you know. We have noticed, and Michael will confirm this in our local body, that as people that are polluting our body are removed, we've got more power, we've got greater worship, we can feel the presence of God, and on and on. The benefits are obvious. In fact, they're obvious to everybody as this cleansing is happening. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 17, and I'll read through it, and then we can come back and have the Lord's Supper, okay? But in giving you this charge, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. And this is because of this pollution that we were talking about. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also factions among you, so that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. What's he talking about, approved? This is when someone is in faction, there's two things that's happening. One faction is evil and it's sin all in itself. But it's also something that God uses to cut out the cancer from the body. Faction means division. It means separate. God does it quite well, we've noticed, because whenever someone has, you know, gone into faction, usually their heart is divided from you. Yours is not necessarily divided from them, but theirs is divided from you through criticism or bitterness or unforgiveness or all the other things that have to do with unforgiveness. They're divided from you, and so they leave. And that's when you feel the difference. I know we felt the difference. And always, you know, it's happened that we have a very good representation of the gifts of dreams and visions and prophecy and words. Excuse me. And it's always been revealed to us what the sin was. And because one thing faction does, it takes away a conscience of a person. You know, they're no longer able to put on a show, and the Lord just reveals it, you know. So he said there must also be factions among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. Of course, the people in the faction or whatever sin this is dealing with, they're not approved, okay? And it's shown to you they're not approved. And it's also shown to you that they're polluting the body. When therefore ye assemble to eat the Lord's Supper, You assemble yourselves together. It is not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. Well, it's not possible because you're not unleavened. Somebody is partaking of it in a guilty manner, an unworthy manner, as he speaks about a little further down here. And he doesn't want this, you know. It's not possible. In fact, he tells you it's dangerous. It's dangerous for them because they can eat and drink to themselves judgment, as the Bible says, as we've read too in these lists. For in your eating, one taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. Well, drunken obviously lets you know that it's not grape juice that we're drinking at the Lord's Supper. You don't get drunken on grape juice. And it wouldn't represent the same thing either. And verse 22 says, what, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and put them to shame that have not? Well, of course, he's saying this is another way of eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, you know, selfishness and no care for the body. You know, the Lord said, whatsoever you've done to the very least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so, you know, this is an unworthy manner. This is another one we're looking at in the list here. Not only the faction, but these other things and this selfishness here. No care for the body. No sacrifice. No bearing of a cross to sacrifice for the others, right? And what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, we don't believe like, you know, transubstantiation, which the Catholics believe, that this actually turns into the body and blood of Christ, you know. He said, you're doing it in remembrance of him. And the thing is, the faith is involved. You know, when we get baptized, we believe that we go down in that water. And when we come up, it's no longer we that live, it's Christ that lives, because we have the resurrection life of Christ. We're buried with him in the likeness of his death, but we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And we believe that by faith. It's the faith that does it. It's not the ceremony. But it's not really a ceremony. It's something that can cause your human mind to apply things through imagination. You know, when you go down in the water, you can imagine it. You know, you can accept it. You can accept this being united with him in the likeness of his death. And the same thing is with this. You know, we're believing that we are a partaker of the body and blood of Christ. Not only that, we are showing this to the world around us. You know, obviously, it's usually only the Christians that see it, and we're making this commitment to one another to be a partaker in only the body and blood of Christ. Because that's who, you know, what you eat is who you are, right? When you eat food, it goes into you, it becomes your cells, it becomes who you are. And so that's the parable God is showing us here, you know, that we, by faith, become who Christ is. We become a member of his body. And the one who lives in Christ's body is Christ. And that's why they were called Christians. This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. And the word proclaim there means to show forth the Lord's death. And of course, we're accepting his death for us. He died to make reconciliation. Reconciliation means an exchange, apokatalasso. It means an exchange of his life for your life. So we died with Christ so that we can be resurrected with Christ. And so there's an exchange that's coming to pass through our faith and through God's power. His power is involved wherever our faith is involved. And so if you're just doing this as a ceremony, it's kind of like getting baptized. Sometimes people just get wet, you know. But when you're doing it as an act of faith, that's different, you know. The Lord accepts the faith. It's real in the spirit realm. Some people say it's not real. No, it's real in the spirit realm, you know. It is the building blocks that we need. It's the substance of the thing hoped for. That's what our faith is, the substance. In the spiritual realm, faith is a substance. You give God the faith, he gives you what you need, right? You're giving him the building blocks to make the building with, right? Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, which we've spoken about, all these things that are walking in willful disobedience to the Lord are obviously an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's pretty serious. And so he obviously pronounces a curse on that. He says, but let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And of course, that's what we need to do. We examine ourselves. We prove ourselves. We see if we're in the faith. We know, obviously, if the Holy Spirit's convicting us of anything that we're doing willfully contrary to the kingdom, we should deal with that first. You know, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, we should deal with that first, or don't partake of it. Because, he says in verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, if he discern not the body. And of course, we know that whatsoever we do to the body, including pollute it, you know, with our sins, we're doing it to Christ. The least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, he says. For this cause, many among you are weak and sickly. So that's eating and drinking judgment right there. And not a few sleep. So people do die doing this, eating and partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. But if we discerned ourselves, we should not be judged. That's right. We need to discern ourselves. We need to make sure that we're not convicted of any outward immorality or any willful rebellion against the Lord, especially any unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, of course, causes you to not be forgiven. And that's what the Lord said. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you're really not in the kingdom. A lot of people don't realize that because you don't have the benefits of the kingdom. If you're not forgiven, you don't get the rest of the benefits of the kingdom. We're entering into the kingdom as we repent and believe in every instance in our life that's been contrary to God. Everything that's given to us through the first Adam, you know, must die and be resurrected in Christ. But if we discerned ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Of course, God, that's the reason God chastens us and judges us, is so that we will repent. We will count the cost of low living and repent and turn to the Lord so that we can be a part of a clean, unleavened body. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait one for another. You know, be courteous, be respectful, do bear your cross, you know, deny yourself for the brethren, etc. And if any man is hungry, let him eat at home, that you're coming together, be not unto judgment. and the rest will I set in order whensoever I come. Okay, I know there's probably a lot of questions there, but I think we've covered the most important things, you know, and we can partake of the Lord's Supper. And personally, you know, since the Lord's Supper is a New Testament fulfillment of the Old Testament Passover, there are benefits to having the life of Christ in you, the Word and the life of Christ in us through the Lord's Supper. First of all, there's no curse on people that are filled with Christ. And that's what we're doing here. We're accepting it. We're showing it forth. In other words, when we go out and face the world, what they're supposed to see in us is Christ. You know, not us, but Christ. Christ in us. And what we're supposed to be showing to one another, of course, is Christ in us. And so we show forth, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are showing forth this death of self and life of Christ, this reconciliation, this exchange of God's life for our life. So let's go back to verse 24 and 25 and partake of the Lord's Supper. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Of course, when we partake of the Lord's body, we have all the benefits of the Lord's body. We have the same health that the Lord has. The Bible says, as he is, even so are we in this world. Those are words of faith. We partake of the Lord's body. Guess what? There's no sickness in the body of Christ, is there? Well, there's no sickness in us either. He already bore that curse away. That's what the Bible says. By whose stripes you were healed. So when we partake of the body of Christ, we have his health. We have his blessing. And so on. So let's partake of the bread. And Lord, we give thanks to you for this benefit of your kingdom. And Father, we thank you so much that the Lord Jesus has given his body for our body and his blood for our blood. He has made the exchange. And our sins were nailed on that cross, and we were given his righteousness through the reconciliation. Thank you, Father. And verse 25 says, in like manner also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Praise the Lord. Well, that's by faith, right? And we're partaking of the new covenant through the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ now flows through us, you know. The blood of our parents brought us into sin, all the way from Adam. The Bible says, as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ shall all be made alive. And so here we go. Thank you, Father. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he come. Thank you, Father, so much for this gift of the life of your Son. We receive his life in us. We take the reconciliation. We thank you for this gift in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we receive the benefits of the life of Christ in us. we can look in the mirror and see Jesus. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So, Lord, by faith, we accept the life of Christ in us and all the benefits thereof, Lord. We have His health. We have His wisdom. We have the soul of Christ. We have the mind, will, and emotions of Christ. All of the benefits of the kingdom. Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. We know that we are justified by faith in the reconciliation and that You accept our faith today by making us one body in You, one unleavened body in You. Thank You so much, Father. Amen.
Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Woo.
It's good to be with y'all.
It's good to have you, David. Anybody got any, anybody got any questions?
David.
What's that?
I just want to say thank you to David.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for bringing us communion again. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Amen. Thanks. Anybody got any questions for David? I ain't talking about no weird alien questions now. We're talking about some good biblical questions.
Hi, Kevin.
Okay.
Hi, Kevin. Oh, Kevin, I said
Missy's
hi.
Saying hi to you.
She is?
Yeah, Missy is.
Tell
She's waving at you. Just wave.
Are you waving at me, Missy, or Kevin?
Okay, you too.
Thank you, Kevin. Amen. Hey, John, how you doing, brother? Awesome. Stephen and Helen, how y'all doing? Where'd he go?
Hi. We're doing well.
Oh, there he is. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. It's good to have y'all on.
Hey, Stephen. Good to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you. Definitely. Helen's here too. Wait.
Hi, Helen. Hi, Biden.
Well, there's darkness behind her. There we go.
Amen.
I can see
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Angelica had a dream. Let her, David, it was about you. Angelica, do you mind coming in and sharing it? It's just a short dream.
Oh, yes. I apologize. I just, it was really quick, so hopefully it's on. I had a dream last night. I was David. I was sitting on a table with David. And there wasn't anything on the table, and I really don't remember too much, but I know my friend Joe Henry was there, and I just looked up the name Joe and Henry, and Joe is short for Joseph, and Henry is Lord of the House or something like that. But and then we went to a couch to go study the Word. So that was a quick little dream.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Rob, too. Did you see Rob? He's up there with Jackie.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Rob.
Hey, brother. How's things going down there? A little warmer than up here?
Well, it is in my room.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, Michael around is about 85 inside, no matter what it is outside.
Yeah, Michael's on the next floor up, and all that heat just goes up there. He loves it, you know?
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I see his Hawaiian outfit there.
Huh?
He's just a fine outfit hanging out a lot.
Yeah. Amen.
Hi, David.
Hi. Who's talking?
That's Jackie.
Oh, hey, Jackie.
Hey, brother. Thank you.
How
goes it? It goes cold and snowy up here in the mountains.
Yeah, we just got a little bit of snow, and that's unusual for us.
Mm-hmm.
Usually about once a year.
It headed straight up the Appalachians and hit my daughter east of us about 3 hours. They got about 4 inches.
Oh, my goodness.
We got nothing.
Somebody was telling me that they had a bunch of snow in North Carolina. Was that you, Leon? How many inches they get?
I think it was 25 inches in North Carolina. I don't know. We had 1 inch here, and in some locations it was about 4 inches here, and it went over the mountains and dumped big time. Parts of Alabama had 13 inches, and, you know, it was just massive for every.
Nobody in the valley got that much, though, did uh-oh. They?
No.
No.
Inch or 2 inches at the most, I think.
Yeah, Jeff was saying he thought he had 4 inches the other day.
What? Really?
Yeah, that's what he was saying. So.
But, Corpus Christi got 4 to 6 inches, and that's unusual.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. That's down there on the Gulf. Mm-hmm. So,
I don't care for snow. I'm like Michael. I like it warm.
Amen. Yeah, warm is good. We like it where Joe and Nora, we like it whether they get up there. It's all time hot up there in South Africa.
When I was moving up here from Pensacola, I thought to myself many a time, I said, Lord, I don't like going north. I like it in the south. I like it nice and warm, you know. The Lord sent, I think, about 3 people to me to tell me, even though they didn't know I was saying or thinking those things. They said, David, the Lord told me to tell you, don't worry, you're not going to be cold. And you know what? I haven't been cold since I've been here. Yeah, I mean, I wear a thin jacket. It doesn't really matter how cold it is outside. It's just like the Lord changed my metabolism, you know, because I used to be pretty cold-natured.
Well, he's right. He just wore a little old jacket today. I'm wrapped up in 4 or 5 layers, you know. Praise God.
So I was thankful for that change.
I don't get as cold as I used to. Praise God. Hey, Ken. How you doing, brother?
Willie's got his hand up. Hey, Willie.
Hey, Willie.
I got a question. There's a Bible study that I do up here every Thursday, and I work with senior citizens. I know, you know, my mom asked me if I wanted to do it, and it's kind of like, okay, without thinking about it. It wasn't like, hey, let me go home and pray, you know, see what the Lord says. So I'm in a situation with senior citizens, you know, and I will, you know, what must I do, you know, to show to them, you know, just a greater, you know, what's the best way to help them?
Take her Geritol away and throw a Bible at them. Yeah. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, whatever their spiritual need is, you know, usually people will tell you what it is, you know. Obviously, I think a lot of people need the foundation of gospel because it's not really being preached out there, what the gospel really is, you know. It's so powerful, too, to deliver and to heal and to meet all of our needs, you know. But it's not being preached, and a lot of them don't know it. They may have, you know, been in some of these old-time religions and denominations and never really heard the good news of what the Lord's done for them, you know. Of course, if they believed that, a lot of them wouldn't be there, would they?
Yeah, they wouldn't be filling up the buildings as much.
Yeah.
Oh, now, is it
best? Yeah, I used to teach at old folks' home years ago, and that's the hard call, because you'll have some that are real glued in and they're right with you, and others, they're not there, you know. But you just keep on preaching the word anyways, because I remember a couple of them were just like comatose almost.
Mm-hmm.
But you would still just get the word out and thinking that would seep in. And sometimes you get the opportunity for prayer. They want somebody wants maybe you offer prayer and they'll take it, or others won't. I've had that. It's just one of those things you feel out as you go. And unfortunately, it's one of those things where you might have people coming in and out, because people will die and people come in. So that's always there. But just I remember a few times I even told this, Michael, I'd go there. I'd take the whole week or so just getting ready, prepared what I was going to teach on and read through it. And I'd print all this stuff out for them to read with me. And then I'd seen it where the Lord, within 15 minutes, changed it all, because he wanted me to go over something else. So you got to be prepared for that. When you're seriously taking it serious and you're working on it, and it takes time, and you're getting prepared and you want to show them something or talk about something in the scriptures, and you take the time to do that all, the Lord is going to step in too. And when that does, that's a really neat experience. And I was prepared. I had it all down, a whole week's worth. I was ready to go, and in 15 minutes, he changed it just like that. And I says, I brought it all. Here's what I was going to teach on, but that's not what we're doing today. So that kind of stuff will happen too.
Yeah. You always got to be ready to change with the Lord.
Yeah, I thought to myself, you know, I'd never try to prepare anything. You know, there might be a certain book we're reading in, but what I thought early came to my mind, you know, don't try to write out anything. Don't try to prepare for anything. You know, leave yourself open and vulnerable, and, you know, see what the Lord's going to do. You know, I would really like to see, you know, the power of God, you know, just manifest. You know, you don't see a lot too much of that anymore.
I'll tell you what you can do, Willie, to see it, is to start teaching faith and talk about the promises, and then talk about repentance and all of that stuff. First thing you have to establish, in my estimation, what I always try to do is establish, do they believe the Word of God is the Word of God? And once you get that established with them and they understand that it's the Word of God, boy, you go to town with them. Are you going to get some that's going to argue with you about doctrine and all that? God doesn't do this anymore. And you have to just have a lot of grace with them. And just show them in the Word of God, what's wrong with this scripture? Can you tell me what this scripture means? And that's kind of the way I always did it.
Amen.
You establish that the Word of God is the Word of God, and there's not a whole lot of argument there for them. If they believe it, if they go ahead and say, yeah, I believe that. And then you read Revelation 18, 22:18-19 to them. Adding to or taking away from the Word of God, what happens, you know? You know, I just kind of that stuff there. It lay it out at first, you know, and show them what's going on. That's one way to do it. Are these people that are cognizant of what you're talking about most of the time?
Yeah. The ones that have come have been there from the beginning, you know.
Okay.
A really sincere desire, you know.
Amen.
To know the word and to hear it. You know, they're very, very grateful. They're always there.
Amen.
Cool.
You know, but you got some where you're like, Lord, you know, well, this one has arthritis, and, you know, this one needs hearing aids just to hear what I'm saying, and, you know, it's kind of like, I'm ready to get rid of this arthritis and hearing aid crap. And, you know, just see the Lord work. And it's like, do I deal with, you know, this person has arthritis, or this person needs a hearing aid. Do I compensate for it? You know, or I'm a type of person where I'll stick to the word, you know. The Lord, you know, he heals all of our diseases. And I'll talk to him about it, and, you know. I've even prayed. And I guess it's where, you know, where the heart is. I was just looking to see if anyone had any experience with, you know, teaching senior citizens. But I feel like, yeah, I'm like 42, and they're like, yeah, I'm 80, I'm 40. I'm like, oh, I'm the little kid. You guys see more life than I've seen.
I think the Lord gives a lot of grace to old folks, really. I've seen and receive very easily things, you know. Sometimes they don't have the hang-ups that a lot of other people do. I think they receive healing real quickly and easily. And I think the Lord just has a lot of mercy on them.
Cool.
Amen.
I've seen people delivered to Alzheimer's, you know, that had never spoken a word the whole time they'd been in there. Prayed over them, they got deliverance. It was a demon. They started speaking and having reactions with the people around them, and people are just shocked when they see that. The other old folks are just really shocked when they see that.
Yeah, you're right. There are some people there that do have demons, and they're bound. There's some binding there, and you can loosen them up when they, you know. I remember teaching and having a woman being very disruptive, and I finally bound the demon right there on the spot. You know, I said, "Wait a minute, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bound any kind of spiritual darkness going in this room," and I didn't want to point her out, but I was binding right then, and it stopped. And then afterwards, I was able to go talk to her. She said, "Thank you."
Mm-hmm.
So you have that going on too.
Yeah, I had one of them literally tell me when I prayed over her, she said, "Oh, thank you, I needed that." And all the other old ladies there said, "She's never spoken a word before." First time she'd ever spoken any of them in their hearing, you know. "Oh, thank you, I needed that."
They were just glad to be free of it, wasn't they?
Absolutely.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Here comes Debbie and Denny in for a landing. Yep.
I'll just get a somersault. I guess you don't know that.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got any questions? Cheryl, it is so nice to see you back on, girl. I'm glad to see you. Good to have you on. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Ask David.
All right. You know what? I've been working on something here the last few days. It seems like there's going to be a pestilence attack against the United States and probably especially the Christians. And this teaching about the Passover is going to be really important to people, because if it happens the way what we're hearing, a lot of people are going to die. And we just need to know the Lord. We need to be clean before the Lord so we can have boldness before the Lord. We need to be free of fear, doubt, any kind of willful sin that would cause us to not have boldness before the Lord. Something really nasty is coming. It is very biblical. I know that. I went back and looked at our morning meetings for the last 6 months, and we were warned 26 times in the last 6 months that this pestilence was coming. And I think we're very close to it now. And maybe in just a few months, within just a few months, we may see this. But we're also getting prophecies and words concerning it too. So it's a repeat of history. It was because the people wouldn't submit to Babylon in quite a few cases that the Lord said he was going to send pestilence, famine, which they seem to be working on too, and the sword. We've seen the sword. We're seeing the roots of famine, and I believe we're about to see pestilence, and I believe they've already started it. And I'm thinking it's going to be the bubonic plague turns into pneumonic plague when it gets into your lungs, and then it becomes very contagious. And I believe that's what they're shooting for. Could be other things too, but that's just one that I think has been revealed to us. So, and I don't think we're going to be able to pray it away because in these same texts that we've gotten, the Lord said he was the one sending this. We know that a man can receive nothing except to come from heaven. And he is sending this, I believe, to cleanse the church. I believe he's going to basically take out who he wants to take out and leave who he wants to leave. So, I mean, we can see man's hand in it, but really they don't have the final say-so. The Lord does. And I know he's going to use this to judge the faction movement. And the Zedekiah ministry, basically, the apostate ministry that's ruling over God's people, I know he's going to judge them. We can see that in the verses, you know. So, and obviously we pray before we ask the Lord for these verses, and when we pray, he gives them. And so that's something I believe is coming. I'm probably going to be starting to teach on that, and also what we can do about it personally, you know. But the Passover is very important to understand. A lot of the church doesn't have that understanding. And of course, you know, be it unto you according to your faith. You know, as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. So it's important that we partake of that benefit through faith and walk clean and holy before the Lord. So we can have boldness. So anyway, that's what I'm working on now. And I probably, when I get off of here, I'm going to go back to working on it. So, you know, pray for me and pray for us to have more understanding and to be able to get the understanding out there to people. And whatever else you feel to pray about. But remember us on this.
Go ahead, Dave.
How close are we, you think, are we in the beginning stages of Revelation yet? Is it starting to take off the seals, or are we just, is this just more prep stuff, you think, that's coming up more for pointed at us, the United States, maybe?
Well, there's some things that happened before the tribulation period. For instance, in Egypt, and one of them was a Passover, a major Passover, and a lot of death happened before, or just seven days before the crossing of the Red Sea into the wilderness tribulation. So I'm thinking we're going to see the same thing. And I do believe, too, that the Lord's using this to break people loose. He's going to judge apostate Christianity, and he's going to break people loose from that bondage. I mean, the deliverance from Babylon is very similar to the deliverance from Egypt. And the parallels are the same. They lead up to the same thing, going back to the promised land to rebuild the kingdom. Of course, that's what the wilderness is all about, is we're going to rebuild the kingdom. And deliverance from Babylon is you can't imagine people being ready to follow the man-child into the wilderness without something happening. I mean, they're in bondage to these men. They respect these men, and their apostate leadership like Zedekiah, and God judged the Zedekiah leadership, took them into bondage. Of course, we know they've been in bondage to Babylon all along, because they're in bondage to the world. But when he judges them, guess what? They're free. They're free from him. They may be ready to research the Bible again and study the Bible and find out the truth. You know, a lot of these people just need to be broken out of their religious prison so they can be free to seek out the Lord, you know, for themselves. And, of course, we're going to see signs and wonders. There's going to be people walking around out there healing the sick in the middle of the plague, you know. And they're not, it's not coming on them like it wasn't coming on John Lake, you know. There are going to be demonstrations of the Lord's power. I believe that's going to wake some people up. These things are still for today. You know, the overwhelming majority of Christianity don't believe they're for today. In other words, they don't believe in the Passover. They don't believe in the supernatural aspects of Christianity. That's going to be demonstrated to them, I believe. And so I'm looking forward to a great revival, even though it's going to be very sorrowful, I believe, as far as these judgments coming. You know, it's going to take a lot of people out, but I know the Lord knows what he's doing. He's going to free God's people up. He's going to take out those that are taking advantage of them. We've received that many times, haven't we, Michael, in our morning meetings.
Amen.
Judgment. Coming upon the apostate ministries that are keeping God's people in bondage.
I think Missy had a question.
Yeah. David, I recall, I don't remember what book it was, but when in one of your teachings, I remember you talking about John the Baptist, if I remember correctly. But basically, what I recall from that is that like in Joel it says, you know, the Lord's going to pour out his spirit, the former and the latter. Isn't the Lord going to pour out the former rain? Because, you know, we're not even walking in the former rain. He's going to pour out his spirit to bring about the signs and wonders as that we walk. He's going to pour out his spirit upon us that we walk in those things, but it's also going to bring about revival too, or whatever, isn't it? I mean, do you understand what I'm asking? I mean, isn't that, because you were just saying about, you know, people, you know, healing, you know, like John G. Lake did and everything. And
the wilderness, the Red Sea is the place where the outpouring happened, for spiritually speaking, for Israel. They were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. So that's where it spiritually happened, right at the beginning of the wilderness. So that's a revival that could come from the Passover and the destruction of the enemies, including the deep state, you know. The destruction of enemies. I mean, I still believe Cyrus is anointed of God to bring down Babylon, which we can see is the deep state, you know, shadow government. And I think they're about to meet their end. I believe the end of the Red Sea is close. We've been watching the Red Sea. I mean, I liken it to the red map, you know, the voting map, you know. The red and the blue, you know, but I think the Red Sea has been bringing down, you know, Pharaoh's army. They've been losing battle after battle, and but the ultimate end of it is, I think, near. And of course, there's a revival is going to come from that. The judgment that brings down those people that are a part of Babylon, including the hierarchy of the church, they're a part of Babylon. They're not a part of the kingdom. But what brings them down is going to bring a revival. I mean, judgment always brings revival. I mean, if we have a pestilence, for instance, and the earthquakes and the things that the Lord has shown us, which I'm convinced all of these things are coming, they're going to bring revival. And revival is when the Holy Spirit's poured out. And I agree with you that a very high percentage of Christianity, it hasn't partaken of the former rain yet. That's why I believe it has to be poured out too, the former rain and the latter rain. I'm convinced that really at the beginning of the tribulation period, the one that's going to get the latter rain is going to be the man-child ministry. And that's what happened the first time when Jesus began the ministry. He was the only one that had received the former rain. He didn't give it to them till 3.5 years later. And I believe the same thing is going to happen with the latter rain. The latter rain is going to be first given to the man child, and then he is going to pour that out 3.5 years later. But also, we've already been given the benefit of the former rain, so we can receive that at the beginning of the 3.5 years. And the overwhelming majority of the church hadn't received that yet. So when they receive that, it's going to be a whole new game. You know, it's going to be a whole new story. You know how it is when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You just have spiritual enlightenment. You know, you discern things. You know, you can see into the spirit realm better. And just imagine, you know, how many Christians out there have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen when this happens? The Lord is totally sovereign over that. You know, at the Red Sea, there's going to be a revival. First of all, you got the death of the old man and the resurrection of the new man. There's going to be a baptism there of sorts. Deliverance from the old man and his power happened at the Red Sea, and I'm convinced something like that is going to come too. All these types and shadows. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I know it's going to be bloody and, you know, there's going to be bad things happen, but I also know that the wicked cometh in our stead, the Bible says. People that would never have been saved anyway. God is totally sovereign. He's going to remove them. And as a demonstration and as something to return us to the fear of the Lord, he's going to do this. And, but it's going to be great. He's going to prepare a table in the wilderness, right?
Go ahead, Leon.
That's Leon.
Yeah. Hey, Dave. So that would that be the removal of the tares, then? This judgment that's coming on the church? Would
he's that doing be... that now.
Huh?
He's gathering the tares into bundles now. He's doing that now. He's been doing that through the faction movement.
Okay.
He's gathering them out of the midst, and he's gathering them together. I'm not saying all those people are going to be lost. Some of them are going to repent through this revival, but a lot of them are going to be lost. You know, the other day we received, when asking about the faction, we received when David had conquered Moab, and he lined them up in 3 rows on the ground, and 2 of those rows they killed, and a 3rd served David. And I believe that, you know, of course, Moab factioned against their own brethren. So I believe that was an answer to a question, actually. In faith, we received that answer. And so, you know, some people are going to be taken out as tares. In other words, they're ultimately going to be manifested as tares, and others are going to repent. Turn to the Lord. Even some of the elite will repent. Even some of the worst people will repent. You know, the Lord's going to show his glory.
Thank you.
Well, okay, saints, I'm going to go on and get some work done here. Lord bless you. It was fun being with you. All I know right, some of you. I don't know all of them. Bless you.
God bless you.
Good night, buddy. David. Thank you very much.
Good night. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
All right, David.
Thanks, God bless you, bro.
See you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You too.
Bless you, David.
Thank you, David.
Keep us in prayer. Thank you.
Thank
Amen.
You.
You will.
All right.
Awesome.
There you go.
Peace out.
What's that? Okay. What now?
Thanks, Michael, for bringing David on.
Hi. Thank you for suggesting it. I don't always remember these things. And it was a good time, I thought. I had a good time. Praise God.
Yeah, that was nice.
Good seeing Rob again. Go ahead, Leon. Wait a minute. Let me unmute you.
Hey, it's good to see you too, bro.
Oh,
I don't
right.
get over here to Jackie's half of the other side of the river.
Okay.
I don't get over here too often. No, actually I do.
Yeah.
I gotta check my renters to make sure they're behaving.
Yeah. What's it like to go slumming sometimes? You know, everybody's got to do that.
He's a tough bird to keep in line.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's good to have her up there with you. She's got somebody she can depend on.
Amen.
That's good.
Now, we're enjoying it. She's making some good friends, and she's really sowing some word into some neighbors of mine.
Awesome. Thank you,
just
Lord.
Just through testimony and just
yeah.
sharing her friendship with the neighbor next door, and it's really been good.
Is this going to be another Mariah Woodworth Etter here? Mama Etter? Y'all ever heard of her? Mariah Woodworth Etter? You never heard of her?
No.
My goodness. Great healing. She had great healing powers of God back in the 1800s.
Why don't you read her this Wednesday night for the study?
Well, I'm probably going to put on a redeal. I'm going back to Arkansas to minister to Jeanette. Yeah.
Okay, so you won't be here Wednesday?
No, I won't be here Wednesday.
Okay,
it'll be a rerun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably.
Unless I
can get away and do it. I've got something prepared, but this came up kind of suddenly. I'm going to have to go for a while.
He was sharing a little bit. Next time you get a chance, I'd like to hear about her.
Okay, yeah.
I enjoy those times when you share about John G. Lake and some of them other brethren that from ages past really walked the faith.
Amen. We're gonna see some stuff like we probably got some John G. Lakes here. We've got some A.A. Allens here. We've got some William Branhams. Only more so, right out of this little bunch right here, and Mariah Woodworth Edders too.
Amen.
You know, the secret to most of their lives of their ministry was praying.
Mm.
It's good prayer time. Good praying.
Amen.
That's the way you prepare, Willie, for all of that is praying. It's a good thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Amen. Yeah, we've had so much confirmation with Jackie and bringing her up here with. You know, I've called her a type of Anna for many years when I first met her in 2013. And even the trailer that has the VIN number on it. You know what the VIN number to the trailer that I hauled her here was?
Yeah. No, what was it?
Or the first four letters was A-N-N-A on that VIN number for that trailer.
A-M-M-A?
A-N-N-A, Anna.
Oh, really?
Number in that trailer.
Okay.
I've called her Anna for many years in belief that was her calling.
She's an intercessor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Amen.
She's been helping a lot around here through prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Well, it's always nice to have those, man. I tell you what, we can't make it without them.
No, I'm telling you. That's why I told her I'm hostaging you. I'm taking you over here, and I'm planting you right here in the middle.
Amen. Well, now, you can't be stingy. You got to let her come down here occasionally.
Yeah, I know. She said you've been kind of trying to help encourage her to get down that way. I figured maybe this spring, hoping my wife comes along.
Yeah, she will.
Amen.
She will. Amen.
Then she can meet Jeanette when she's down there.
Well, I'll tell you what, she comes down here, she'll love it.
Amen.
We haven't had anybody yet to come down here and visit it that didn't just love the love and the fellowship that goes with it.
Amen.
Amen.
We're believing with you for them grandsons.
Amen. Amen. Y'all kind of pray for me while I'm going home, too, that my flesh don't rise up.
Amen, brother.
Papaw's flesh sometimes gets comes out a little more, but you know, I've learned over the years just let God handle it.
Amen.
That's what we do.
Yep. It's best to rest. It's best to rest.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I told Blake not too long ago, I said, you know, Blake, I'm a Christian. The Lord's been trying to get rid of this flesh out of me. I said, but I got a little left, and you keep on doing what you're doing, I'm going to turn it loose on you.
Amen.
But he grinned at me. He knew I was kidding him.
Now you tell him he that suffereth ceases from sin, and you're about to make him suffer.
Amen. It's going to give him an invite from the Lord.
Amen. Oh, Lord.
Amen. All right, let's see here. Has anybody got any prayer requests while we're still up here praying? Is there anything you need to pray about? Okay, does anybody want to talk about something? I think we got about 8 minutes. So you got to do it quick if you want to do it. I'm not trying to put pressure on anybody. I noticed y'all ain't jumping up there to the mic anyway. Hey, John, good to have you on tonight, brother. I know you have to get up early to do that.
Many greetings from Sweden, yes.
Amen.
I have not slept yet. I will see if I get some sleep before I have to go to work. But this night will be pretty corrupt.
Oh, well, I'm glad you joined us, brother. That's sacrifice, and God loves that.
Yeah, I heard on the last audio that you had you took communion. Then I thought I have to be there.
Yeah, amen. So, well, we're glad to have you. We're glad to have you.
Really nice. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay, brother.
It was wonderful to see you here.
Amen. It is. Let's see who else is on here. Cheryl, hi, girl. It's good to see you. Let me see if I can. Cheryl, can you hear me?
If I speak, can you
hear me? Yes, sir. I didn't know how to unmute, or I would have said something earlier.
I kind of figured that, so I unmuted you. How you doing, girl?
I'm very blessed, and I thank the Lord for helping me through a lot of the fear. That's what has kept me away. I mean, there's other things, you know, dealing with some things that the Lord has shown me that I need to come against. And not that my absence has anything to do with an agreement or anything. I've always been had y'all in my prayers and in my heart. And I just praise the Lord because it took me a lot to get on because of the fear. That's how Satan has always, you know, kept me down. I'd, you know, have that fear of not being worthy or whatever, but I'm understanding more now. I've been reading the predestined called, and so I'm getting a little more understanding so that I know if I'm called, then I know he loves me and he wants me to manifest Christ and go forward. He don't want me to, you know, fall by the wayside. So that gave me more hope and that he loved me even though through my struggles. So, and I want to praise the Lord for keeping us through Harvey. We didn't get, no water or no damage.
Praise God.
My stepfather, he fell today on the asphalt as he was walking. He's 82 years old. We took him in. He's on Coumadin, which is a blood thinner, and we was worried about, like, the bleeding on the brain and all that. So I just kept telling him, you know, we'll pray that all this, you know, comes out okay. He had no pain, but he has a big old gash on his forehead. He's over 6 foot tall and over 200 pounds, so I know he had a hard fall.
Yeah.
And, he just has an ugly old, you know, cut on his face and on his nose, but praise God, he don't have any pain and
Amen.
There's no broken bones. And
Thank
so I've
Jesus.
Just been praying, you know, for, you know, to be a witness to him and my brothers. And so I've just really been blessed and, you know, in a lot of things, so many
Amen.
I can't even remember, but
Amen.
Can I
pray for you?
Glad. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for bringing Cheryl back to us. She's always in the past been a blessing to us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for assuring her about fear that it's just an enemy. And all she has to do is rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, we command all those fears to go, anxieties to go out of her right now in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And we thank you, Father. She is a powerful woman of God. And we
yeah.
praise you for
yeah.
Her teaching her father, her stepfather about Jesus, Lord, and the promises that are available to him, that when he does fall, you can command that pain to go. You can command any after effects of it to go. Father, we thank you for her ministry down in Texas in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for bringing her
thank
home
you.
Back in
thank
Jesus'
you.
Name. You
Amen.
Feel, you feel thank at home you. Anytime you want to. You can come back, girl. Ain't nobody going to say nothing.
Well, I love it's just the fear that keeps me. There are
no, it's
some
not.
Things,
Jesus'
you know,
name, we just prayed that out of there. You ain't got
Amen.
That fear no more. It's
Amen.
Gone, girl. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Glory to God.
No
thank
more
you,
in
Jesus.
Agreement with it.
Amen. That's right. It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, sister. Amen.
All right.
Good to see your
well,
smiling face. How's Georgina doing? She's just Georgina,
well,
ain't she?
Well, I'm not. So I don't. I'm as far as I know, I guess she's doing good.
Okay. We're still praying for her.
I'm praying and believing for her. And it's just, you know, I had to. We just
have to rest in the Lord, don't you?
There you go. And
yeah.
I think it's he's working on both of us. So I
Amen.
Think, you know, and I'm praying and believing, and I'm you know, I'm just praying for just deliverance and for her to be brought back.
Amen. Well, you are too. Well, all right, folks, it's about time to close out. Does anybody need prayer for anything before we do close out? Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, hey, it's just me. She was raising for me, Michael. That's
okay.
Johan that's from Sweden. Is he there still?
Yeah. Yeah,
does he
know
Michael Soberg from Sweden? Michael Soberg?
Where does he live?
Michael Soberg.
Yeah, he lives in Sweden. You know what town he lives in, Rob? I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but we used to converse back and forth quite a bit here a few years back, but he's kind
yeah.
of... what
is his
remember.
Name? Michael or...
Yeah, it's Mike
Soberg.
You know how to spell it?
S-K-J-O-B-O-R-G.
Something like that.
Yes, S-C-O something. B-E-R-G.
Yeah.
No, I don't
his
know
dad,
that.
His dad actually is a owns a factory there, doesn't he? Or something.
I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
Sure.
It's been a long time since I've called. He tried to call me here. I looked on my phone one day, and he tried to call me. Probably 6 months ago, and that's the first time I'd heard about him in years.
Yeah, he sent me an email about 6 months ago, and I responded, but heard nothing back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but no, we used to talk a good bit. He used to visit Tennessee a couple times.
Yep, Yeah. Well, he was working on the Bible there for a while, then he kind of pushed that aside. I guess I don't know what happened, but anyway. Well, all
I just
right.
wanted to see. All right. God bless.
Sweden's kind of like Texas. They don't let everybody know everybody, even though they think they do, but they don't.
It's much colder.
Yeah,
it's really cold here.
Yeah, it's too cold up there. Praise God. Well, all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for tonight. It's been an awesome night tonight, Father, and I thank you for allowing David the time to come on and share with us. And Lord, we look for every opportunity to try to get him on, but I know he's busy all the time, and we just appreciate when he does come on. And Lord, I thank you for your what you've done tonight. Lord, I know there's healings taking place. I know Josiah has been stilled, and I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you for Cheryl, bringing Cheryl back into our lives again. Yes. In Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that everybody tonight is going to have a good night's sleep, and tomorrow morning they're going to be supernaturally energized by the power of God, and I thank you for it. Father, give us dreams and visions about the things that are coming, Lord, and let us know about it. We praise you. We magnify your name, Lord, and we thank you for everything that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, good night, saints. We'll see y'all again. Lord willing.
Amen.
Hey, Rob, it's Leon.
Good night, everyone. How you doing?